In some ways, this presentation that we're making is very much in line with many of the things that were said in the last presentation. We have taken, in New Mexico, a slightly different path to try to achieve, I think, some of the same goals. Ruefully, we often say that New Mexico is either first or last, depending on which one is bad. We are 48th in proportion of people living in poverty, 49th in the number of children in low-income families, 49% of the population has no dental coverage, 22% has neither medical nor dental coverage, and 27% have medical but not dental coverage. A particular part of the state, Sandoval County, where this project that I'm going to tell you about is located, it has 123,000 people in almost 4,000 square miles. 14% of folks are Native Americans, 33% are Hispanic, and about 43% are Caucasian and not Hispanic. Yeah, I'm going to put a lot of these up here, but to some good degree, New Mexico suffers from the same problems that many parts of the country suffer from. Perhaps what is different is the degree to which we suffer from a whole series of widespread preventable chronic conditions, reliance on emergency departments and specialty clinics, and the overall impact of oral health needs that is far more negative than it need be. We think that the majority of oral disease is occurring within the least advantage, 25% of the population. And the incidence of untreated decay in children of the most poor families is 2.5 times higher. 52% of the children in our state live in low-income families. In terms of oral care or dental care, we rank 49th in dentists per capita. The population ratio is one dentist for every 3,300 individuals in the state. So that sets the stage just a little bit. Now, here's a map of the state, and as you'll see, most of the, and I apologize for the small font here, but most of the state is our dental shortage area. Sandoval County is circled in purple there. And the statistics and the figures would look very much the same if we looked at medical care. But we have a total of just over 900 dentists in the state, and most of them are in Bernalillo County, which is the white right in the middle below Sandoval, Valencia County, basically the Rio Grande Valley. So we have large proportions of the state that have absolutely no dental coverage at all. We've tried to address this in a couple of ways. In this first slide, we here means the state of New Mexico, the University of New Mexico. One of the things that was done some years ago was to set up a dental residency program. There is a plot of longstanding in the state to eventually have a school of dentistry. I expect to be toast by the time that happens, and maybe warmed over toast by the time that happens. In the meantime, we have a dental residency program in the School of Medicine. It was started in 2005 with 5 residents. We expanded it to 7. And in 2009, we expanded it to 10 positions with a mandatory rotation to an underserved and rural area. Given the conditions that I discussed with you, the results from our point of view have been very positive because 32 of the 57 have stayed in the state to practice dentistry, and 10 of those are serving in rural location. 8 of them are serving populations that include medically fragile children and other vulnerable populations. So while this has been a great success, it has not been a total answer to the problems we face in the state. And what we're really here to talk to you about is another approach that we've taken. which is interprofessional collaborative practice. And I think this will come as no surprise to you. It's been around, the concept has been around for decades. It started in 1972 with an Institute of Medicine conference, which resulted in this publication. And I have three quotes here, which I won't necessarily read all of them, but the first quote is from a book called Engaging Primary Medical Care Providers in Children's Oral Health. States have found that encouraging primary care providers to share responsibility for oral health is an important step in improving the conditions of not just the child's mouth, but of overall health. The World Health Organization in 2010 said that when multiple health workers from different backgrounds work together with patients, families, and carers, and that is a quote in the original, communities can expect to deliver the highest quality of care. And then the Commission on Dental Accreditation in 2010 made the point that public access to oral health is a connection between oral health and general health. And within that context, there are four organizations within the state that have joined forces. The first is an El Pueblo Health Services, which is a community health center in Bernalillo, north of Albuquerque. The second is something we're very proud of. It's called the Family Health Partnerships, which is a faculty practice from the College of Nursing, which targets maternity and infant care. The Department of Dental Medicine, which I've talked about, and then my center, which is the Center for Development and Disability at the School of Medicine. We have been working together for some years to try to find ways to collaborate. College of Nursing staff have been talking for some time to the dental medicine staff to try to find ways which we could collaborate. In the same way, all of us have meet on a regular basis, and this is peripheral to this project, to talk about special needs dentistry. My center, about half of my center, is clinical. We provide clinical services, not including dentistry, to children with a wide range of physical and cognitive disabilities. So the background had been set for a project, and then we were lucky enough to apply for and to get a three-year grant from HRSA, which we call Innovation in Primary Care Oral Health Interprofessional Team Practice. I don't know why it's doing that. Thank you. The important thing I want to emphasize here is that the primary innovation of this project is not what we do, which is quite remarkable and which Amy's going to talk about in just about a minute, but it's that we have set up an interprofessional team composed of primary care providers, including nurses, family nurse practitioners, midwives, evaluation and statistical folks like me, and dentists, to create an interprofessional team that designs and implements the innovations, which you're going to hear about in a minute. And that, to us, is actually more important than the innovations that are actually created. We use existing providers, and this approach to us seemed to be very important, given the fact that we needed not only an effective but a very efficient way, given the lack of resources in the state, to try to address oral health disparities in the vulnerable populations that we talked about. We have three major goals. We have spent a lot of time creating an interprofessional team, an oral health delivery model, dental, medical, and nursing providers. We are trying to respond to those disparities that I talked about in one particular area of New Mexico. And we are using these two community health centers to try to improve the oral health and reduce oral health disparities. Come back. The project leadership, which I will not spend some time talking about, it consists of Barb Overman, who is a certified nurse midwife, Pete Jensen, who is a dentist, and he is the residency program director, the Director of the El Pueblo Health Services, Christine Kogel, who is the interprofessional attending from the College of Nursing, and then myself and Amy. So to tell you about the actual innovations that we've done and how we're evaluating success, I'd like to turn the podium over to my colleague, Amy Pilley, who has a joint appointment in the School of Medicine and the College of Nursing as a research associate.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here. So as we look at the activities of the project, remember that everything that takes place is designed, implemented, and evaluated by an interprofessional team of primary care providers, dentists, and nurse practitioners, as well as like Tony as a statistician, me as a public health person, the extra kind of support people from other areas as well. So included is our design of the project structure. So here we have the leadership team, which is designed to enhance the interprofessional nature of the project. The leadership team makes all the strategic decisions, provides constant communication with the other teams, like the evaluation team and the clinicians. And at least one member of the leadership team is from all the other disciplines, or is from each discipline. Teams can act independently or together as needed. We're now creating teams to focus on access to dental professionals for pregnant women and people with disabilities, as you can see down in the special project work groups box. We'll talk a little bit more about Canberra and issues with X-ray as we move on. But so special project work groups are interprofessional teams that have come together for, I guess as it indicates, smaller collaborations to focus on special issues as they come up throughout the project. So now we're going to go through the goals and activities of the project itself. Goal one includes is to develop an interprofessional collaborative practice environment that fosters the innovative responses to primary care oral health needs. Our first real time spent together as one team was in January 2013, when all members of the team, including clinic staff, clinic support staff, community health workers, are also part of one of the practices support staff or team. All of us came together with Dr. Madeline Schmidt and Dr. Leo Rouse to really focus in on the interprofessional practice competencies in oral health. Part of goal one as well is that there is a dentist from the dental residency faculty on site at the FQHC 1 day a week. And this is to serve multiple purposes. One is to train the primary care providers and just to provide guidance as they get more and more used to the skills and things that they're learning. And the other is to actually provide care, or for us to be able to coordinate care for patients who in no other circumstance would be able to get it at a dentist's office. So that's what I was talking about. Every day at the FQHC, or primary care clinic, there is a dentist on call at the dental residency. So as a primary care provider encounters oral health issues, they're able to contact a dentist as needed. So that's been really, really helpful. We've had a lot of success stories with that. We've had a lot of communication. We've done a lot of work around communication between the dental practice and the primary care practices. So that's been one of our major successes, is just having someone available so that when primary care providers encounter something they're not totally sure about, they can access a dentist nearly immediately. We have what we call monthly clinical implementation team working lunches, which is once a month. We have a team lunch at location at the primary care practice site where we all just get together and discuss challenges. We discuss what small teams are working on, revisions to new document development, anything like that. It's been a really, really lucrative time, actually, and so we've really appreciated that. I guess I skipped over the interprofessional grand rounds. My apologies. Once a month as well, we have an interprofessional grand rounds. Okay. That are always focused on a topic that both dentists and primary care providers encounter. And so those have been very beneficial also. And then anytime a primary care provider wants to shadow a dentist and learn more about that perspective of providing care, or a dentist wants to shadow a primary care provider, we have those opportunities available in both directions. And so that's been really interesting. They come back to the luncheons and share what they've learned. And a lot of it is about perspective or communication, how we approach patients, how we approach even things like scheduling patients and clinic rotation, everything from logistics to communication to anything you can imagine. People learn at these informal shadowing opportunities. So that's really great. Okay, so I've been forewarned I have about 3 minutes now. So I'm going to kind of rush through the evaluation indicators, I guess. Just notice that Q1 evaluation indicators focus on primary care practitioners learning and developing interprofessional competencies for our entire team. That was like a 5-second summary. Okay, and then goal 2, which we sometimes consider phase 2, the goals are kind of happening in phases, is to improve the oral health of patients of the interprofessional collaborative practice. So we have enhanced oral exam techniques in primary care so that when primary care providers make a referral, it's not just, here, this person needs attention. It can be more specific than that, and our referrals can be more facilitated than just to say that. It's, they need care now, or they need care next week, and I know this because of the training we've had collectively. The caries management by risk assessment tool, we'll talk more about in just a second. And then primary care providers have been taught the knee-to-knee technique for pediatric exams. And they also have learned to apply a varnish application. So there's a lot of focus right now on tracking that in a longitudinal way, or tracking the outcomes of that application in the primary care setting in a longitudinal way. So dentists, when they're on site, can see patients in collaboration with the primary care provider. Obviously, they're not like billing, they're working with the primary care provider. And so that this hotline is just referring to the fact that they have immediate access to on-call. And facilitated referral with collaboration to other practices as well. So this is the Canberra. I am not sure how many of you all use the Canberra in practice or are familiar. Okay, several lots. I wasn't sure how common it was really in practice. So what happened was some of our primary care providers and dental faculty at the residency have adapted the Canberra for use in the primary care setting. So really, the previous versions were more focused on dentistry, obviously, because that's a setting where they're employed. And we thought were more technical. And then the similarities, though, that were kept intact are that the focus remains on self-management goals and participatory guidance concepts. So really, it's focused on behavior change. And because it's not a diagnostic tool, our primary care providers are able to just put patients in a category to say, or to kind of document the risk for caries that they're in. I feel like I'm speed racing. I hate this. All right, so this slide is a picture of the oral health self-management goals that patients are given after the CAMBRA is completed. So it's part of the participatory guidance concept. Patients are guided to choose 1, 2, 3 of these behaviors that are listed here. And then they're more, like, they take this paper home, so they're more likely to engage in these activities, actually, after they've committed and signed it and really, really agreed to it. Okay, got it. if I can just have, like, 30 seconds. Thank you. All right. So our goal 2 evaluation indicators are around disease burden, behavioral factors of patients, and then the patient experience and disease management. So we want to know under behavioral factors, I'm not sure why it's titled that, how patients perceive their experience. We really want to try to focus on patient engagement and centeredness. So that's the concept around that. And then in goal or phase three, we're focusing on interprofessional education, developing an interprofessional elective between the College of Nursing and the dental residency. And hopefully the medical school as well will become involved. What we hope to see is fewer visits to the emergency department for things that could be prevented in the primary care setting, or at least identified in the primary care setting, prevented in the dental setting is really what we're hoping for. So as far as sustainability, again, we're looking for emergency room avoidance and also less use of specialty health services. So then these are just indicators for that same stuff. We've had several challenges. One is scope of practice issues for oral x-rays. In New Mexico, advanced practice nurses are not able to use x-ray machines. One of the interventions that we'd like to try is x-rays in the primary care setting, or like dental x-rays in the primary care setting, to help identify and like facilitate referral. Maintaining communication across units for complex scheduling. This refers to both schedules of the providers as well as scheduling of patients. I don't think we knew the complex issues in that. So here's our thank you slide. If you have any more questions, we'll be happy to answer as soon as everybody's finished. Thank you. Thank you.